This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with Jeff Kinley, reaching over 80 countries worldwide. It's time to go deep and grow strong. Now, here's Jeff.
You know, there's so much going on right now in the world and in our country. It's really hard to keep up with it all because things change literally every day. And things are progressing, things are digressing. Culture is fluid. Humanity is on a floating scale of just continually, on the one hand, God is doing wonderful things in the lives of people. And on the other hand, we just see a new level of stupid every day. And it gets to the point where it no longer surprises me the things that come out of people's mouths, the things that are generated by people's minds. And the reason why there's so much just ridiculousness in the world today is very simple. The Bible explains virtually everything that we see going on in the world today. And so that's why believers don't have to be confused. We don't have to be the ones scratching our heads while everybody else is just really just blowing hot air. I mean, meaningless, stupid stuff into the world. We are the voice of reason. We're the voice of sanity. We're the voice of stability. We're the voice of morality. We're the voice of godliness. We're the voice of righteousness. We're the voice of justice. It's Christians. And when I mean Christians, I mean not the 86% of Christians who don't read their Bibles. I'm talking about the remnant, the 14% of Christians who are clued into God's Word. But if you want to know the reason why things are so crazy today, it's this. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. And it's speaking of the result of people that intuitively know that there is a God, okay? Because the Bible says every single person on the planet knows there's a God. See that in Romans 1, chapter 8, verses 18 through 20, because it's revealed in creation. And then over in chapter 2, verse 14, it says that instinctively we understand the morality of the law. I talk about Gentiles or non-believers. It says, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness in their thoughts, alternately accusing or else defending them. So in other words, unbelievers know there's a God because of creation and because of conscience, okay? But when they shut those things out, when they put the hand up and say, talk to the hand, God, when they push God out of the picture, and they, in essence, just extract all of the witness of God in their lives and they suppress it in unrighteousness, which is what Romans 1, verse 18 says. This is what happens. In verse 21, it says, even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became, watch this now, futile in their speculations. This word futile means, it just means nothing, means pointless. A big fat zero. And so when people try to attach truth and meaning to things in life and they don't know God and they try to explain life or they try to explain everything from race to gender to masculinity, femininity, to morality, to relationships, to marriage, to children, to everything, the Bible says they become futile. They become pointless. They have no point. There's no track for which their minds are working. In other words, their minds are actually not working. So they become futile in their speculations. And it's interesting when it talks about speculations here, it's talking about a self-based reasoning, which inevitably only produces confusion. Because it doesn't work. It travels back and forth in their mind and gives them a sense of satisfaction, but only in their mind, only in their worldview, and in others' worldviews that have also rejected God and become futile in their own speculations. Now, you say, well, you know, we all have the freedom to think what we want to think, right? We can think that about God if we want to. Sure can. There is that kind of freedom. There's not true free will because our our wills are bound by sin because we're born in sin. But watch this. When we choose that, and then we start trying to speak about things that only God can speak about. And by the way, too, this is what happens in the world. When we start taking our cues about truth and about life and about men and women and marriage and all these other things from the world, from a secular source, we're actually being taught by people who have futile speculations. Now, common grace and common sense dictates that, as the old adage says, every now and then a blind hog will find an acorn. In other words, non-Christians can stumble upon truth and they can say, hey, that's true. You know, hey, look, there's a fatherless home over there. There's a five times greater chance that child will end up in prison one day or whatever. I mean, they can observe things like this, but for the most part, it's just futility. And the result or the consequence of that is, the Bible tells us in the last part of verse 21, it says their foolish heart was darkened. Their foolish heart was darkened. In other words, God says, you are free to reject me. You're free to suppress the truth that I have revealed to you. However, there's going to be a consequence. Just like you're free to kick the hornet's nest, you're free to step on hot coals of fire, you're free to put your hand into a rattlesnake den. You're free to do that. But you do not have control over the resulting consequences. And God says the resulting consequence of you rejecting me and being futile in your speculations is that I will darken your heart. Your heart will be darkened. Because when you turn the light off, the light being God, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. When you turn the light off, well, duh, you're in darkness. And when you're in darkness, I know this is a crazy revelation here, but when you're in darkness, you can't see. You can't see. And you have to grope and feel and speculate about what might be out there in the room. Unless you know the room very well, right? So that's what non-Christians do. They become futile in their speculations and their foolish hearts are darkened. Listen to what Paul says again in chapter 4 of Ephesians in verse 17. He says, this I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their minds. It's the same word here that he used over in Romans chapter 1. In the futility of their minds. And then it says in verse 18, being darkened in their understanding. So you cannot trust on spiritual and God issues, the things that come out of the mouths of people who don't know Jesus. You don't trust those things. We don't get our cues. We don't let them interpret the Bible for us. We don't let them tell us what Genesis 1:1 means. We don't let them tell us what Paul meant when he was talking about homosexuality or the role of a man and woman or marriage or family or anything. We don't let non-Christians tell us that. They're darkened. They don't understand it. They don't have the mind of Christ. It says they're not only futile in their minds, darkened in their understanding, but verse 18 of Ephesians 4 says, they're also excluded from the life of God. So they have no life in them. So they're futile, they're darkened, and they're dead. That's the three things that we know about all non-Christians. Because of the ignorance that is within them, because of the hardness of their heart, and having become callous, they've given themselves over to sensuality and the practice of every kind of impurity, and with greediness. So what's he saying there? He's saying, it is no surprise that the world is doing what the world does. When we look around us and we see everything that's happening, everything from this, the political insanity that's going on to just the moral licentiousness and anarchy and lawlessness and the hatred. Oh my gosh. Have you ever in your entire life witnessed so much hatred in the world right now? And you know, a lot of that hatred is being turned onto Christians. And the reason why is because we are walking around with these giant lights and we're exposing sin by simply not agreeing with their position. By not agreeing with their position, oh, they get it. Trust me, they get the fact that you're disagreeing with them. But they think that because you disagree with them, that number one, you think you're self-righteous, which is a false assumption for any true Christian. And then secondly, they think that because you disagree with them, you must hate them. Well, that's not true either. And then the third thing they assume is that you're automatically wrong because you disagree with them. Now think about this for a second. A person is in a room. There's no lights on in the room. They have no idea what the room looks like. You're in the room and you have night vision goggles on. In other words, you have that low light level there that makes you be able to see in the dark. You can see in the dark. They can't see in the dark. You're describing to them what's in the room. They don't believe you. They tell you you're the bad person for describing what's in the room accurately. So it's a reverse thing. It's this whole gaslighting thing that's going around, right? It's people who are guilty of something accusing you being guilty of the same thing just because you shine the light on them that shows them they're guilty of it. So it'd be like walking up to a person who just murdered someone and saying, hey, you murdered that person. And they go, oh no, you're the real murderer here. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. And that's what darkened minds do. Futile, darkened minds who are dead in their hearts and ignorant of God, they manufacture a false reality, an alternate reality. That's what they do. They have to, and here's why. They have to do that because they have to cope with life and reality. And they have to soothe their own conscience to make themselves feel good about themselves. That's why people love preachers who make them feel good about themselves. That's why they love preachers that tell them that the purpose of life is to be happy and well taken care of, self-care, self-love. It's preachers that tell them that the purpose of their life is just to serve themselves, that God already likes them just like they are, and everything's fine. That's who they're preaching to. And that's exactly what Paul said would happen in the last days. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is just amazing how accurate Paul was. But he says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, the time will come. He says, first of all, preach the word. Kerouxon ton logon is the Greek there. It means to herald or proclaim the word. And by the way, you need to be in a church where there's a guy doing that. He is heralding the word. I mean, he's trumpeting the word. He's not just simply teaching it. He's not just simply explaining it. He's heralding the Bible with enthusiasm, with passion. Watch this. Be ready, Timothy, in season and out of season. In other words, when it's popular, when it's not. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Why? Why should every pastor be committed to just always being dedicated to Scripture and just being locked into the Scripture? Why should he do that? By the way, did you know that some 97% of pastors, of senior pastors in America, of 384,000 pastors that were surveyed, 97% of them said that the Bible speaks to relevant political and moral issues of the day, but that they do not preach on those issues because they're political or they're controversial? I mean, pause for you to just push your jaw back up again. That's what Timothy's talking about. He says, for the time will come, the time will come when they, who's they, means people in the church, will not endure sound doctrine. They don't have time for that. They don't want people to give them sound doctrine. You know why? I'll give you two reasons. Number one, because it contradicts what's going on in culture. People don't want preachers to talk about things that are countercultural from a moral and spiritual standpoint. They don't want it. It's rocking the boat, man. And the second reason is because they don't want people to preach sound doctrine because it is greatly and grossly offensive to self. And anytime your self feels threatened, you know that the guy's probably preaching the gospel. Because that's what Jesus talked about in Luke 14 when he says, if you don't love me more than you love your father, your mother, your spouse, your son, or your daughter, and even your own life, you can't be my disciple. Whoever does not take up his own cross cannot be my disciple. If you're not willing to die daily, can't be my disciple. I want it all, Jesus says. And that's offensive. That sound doctrine is offensive. And anytime you preach on things that are offensive to the sin nature, people go, I think I'd like to hear that guy over there. It makes me feel good on Sundays, right? It says, but time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. Wanting to have their ears tickled. The phrase literally means to have your ears itched. Your ears tickled. In other words, you want them just to scratch where you're itching. That's really what it's saying there. You want someone to just give you what you want. Don't challenge you. Just make it easy. In other words, to make it easy. It says they will accumulate teachers for themselves in accordance to their own desires. Then it says this. It says they will turn away their ears or their hearing from the truth. They will stop listening to those who preach the truth. And they will start listening to those who preach what? It says here, they will turn aside to myths. You know what a myth is? It's a story that ain't true. And when people start telling you things that the Bible is saying, or this is what the Bible means about this particular subject, and it's not true, that's called a myth. So that's why all these false teachers that are out there today that are just simply spouting off myths about everything, they're giving opinions, they're giving dialogue, they're giving some sort of presentation about a truth, but it's just their spin on the truth instead of what God is really saying in His Word. It says, but you, rather, you be sober in all things, endure hardship. What do you mean by that? It means it's going to be hard to keep on preaching the truth. It's going to be hard because not everybody wants it. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. That hits home for me because I've spent 38 years of my life preaching the truth. And, you know, we're not in this thing for a popularity contest or to see just how many people we can gather for ourselves. That's not the point. But there's a grief that those of us who love the Word of God, not just the teachers of it like myself, but people like you who love the Word, there's a grieving that we experience when we watch scores of people just leave the truth and embrace falsehood, embrace myth, embrace half-truths, embrace feel-good TED Talks over preaching the word, kruxantan logon, heralding the Word of God. And it hurts. It just hurts. And that's why I don't shrink back one iota from calling you to the truth and from teaching you the truth. You know why? Because I know in the end you're going to be glad that you got it. And wherever you seek out spiritual truth from your, hopefully from church and from authors and from podcasters like myself and other people that are may have ministries or media ministries, wherever that might be, that you seek out people that are solid in the truth. And what that does for you and me, it enables us to walk through this life and to be able to identify the difference between not just good and evil, which, you know, non-Christians can't anymore because they've reversed it. They call good evil and evil good, Isaiah 5:20. But we're able to distinguish not only between good and evil, but also between things that look Christian, but that really aren't. Principles about prayer, about Bible study, things about the future and Bible prophecy, things about how you live your life and how you get God's attention, you know? I talked about in a previous podcast, drawing circles around yourself and trying to recite numbers, all this voodoo that's going on in the Christian church today, or just speaking something out loud and thinking God's going to be your little genie in the bottle and He's going to answer it for you. I mean, there's so much heresy and wrong thinking. And here's why. Two reasons, real quickly, and this is it. Number one, because Christians aren't in the Bible. They just simply aren't. Christians are not getting their thoughts about life and God and everything else from the Bible. They're getting it from themselves and just from other people who have opinions. And the second thing is that most Christians are so immersed into worldly values that when the Bible comes along, they're not really sure they want it because they're so used to the world. They love this world that they're living in. And my friends, this is a great place to be. for what it is, but there's a better place waiting for us. We don't live for this world, but for the world to come. Our citizenship is in heaven. So you know why people are thinking the things they are, they're saying the things they are, because you know the scripture. When you have the scripture, you've got God's mind in your mind. That's the Vintage Truth word for you for today. God bless you. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.